Sample Test 2. Part A. Spot Dictation.
Research shows we make up our minds about people through unspoken communication within 7 seconds of meeting them. Consciously or unconsciously, we show our true feelings with our eyes, faces, bodies, and attitudes, causing a chain of reactions, ranging from comfort to fear. Think about some of your most unforgettable meetings: an introduction to your future spouse, a job interview, an encounter with a stranger. Focus on the first 7 seconds. What did you feel and think? How did you read the other person? How do you think he reads you? You are the message. For 25 years, I've worked with thousands who want to be successful. I've helped them make persuasive presentations, answer unfriendly questions, communicate more effectively. The secret has always been, you are the message. Others will want to be with you and help you if you use your good qualities. They include physical appearance, energy, weight of speech, pitch and tone of voice, gestures, expressions through eyes, and the ability to hold interest of others. Others form an impression about you based on these. Think of times when you know you made a good impression. What made you successful? You were committed to what you were talking about, and so absorbed in the moment, you lost all self-consciousness. Hear yourself. Many how-to books advise you to stride into a room and impress others with your qualities. They instruct you to greet them with powerful handshakes and tell you to fix your eyes on the other person. If you follow all of this advice, you'll drive everyone crazy, including yourself. The trick is to be consistently you at your best. The most effective people never change from one situation to another. They're the same whether they're addressing their garden club, having a conversation, or being interviewed for a job. They communicate with their whole being. The tones of their voices and their gestures match their words.
Part B, Listening Comprehension. 1. Statements.
1. You thought my article on the school newspaper was right on the target, but unfortunately, based on the general response, you and I are definitely in the minority.
2. I promised to drive you to the airport next Monday, but I'm afraid that something has come up, and I'll have to attend a special meeting at work.
3. I don't know how to get to the Natural History Museum either. To tell you the truth, I'm new around here.
4. Ever since your girlfriend moved to Bridgeport, you are always driving there. You must have lost count on how many trips a week you make, anyway.
5. This music of yours is not actually bothering my studying, but I'm trying to sleep now. It's almost midnight.
6. Look at all the pollution going into the air from those factories. But with the new laws and social awareness, we'll get that under control.
7. You said you don't want to live in the dormitory next year. You need more privacy. But check out the cost of renting an apartment first, and I wouldn't be surprised if you change your mind.
8. Professor Lawrence is going to retire, but he is still going to lead a graduate seminar each semester, though.
9. You asked whether I could lend you a bicycle for a few days. Yes, I have one, but actually, it's already on loan to someone.
10. If the weather doesn't get any better, we may have to scrap our plan for this afternoon's picnic.
2. Talks and conversations. Questions 11 to 14 are based on the following conversation.
Hi, Pete.
Nice to meet you, Mrs. Morton.
It's nice to meet you too. So, are you enjoying the party?
Yeah, it's great. This might be the last time I see some of these people for a long time, so I've been pretty busy. I haven't had much time to sample the food.
I know what you mean. I can't believe that all your kids are finally graduating. Dora has grown up so fast. Do you have any plans after graduation?
Well, I've applied for a teaching job overseas. I guess I'll probably find out if I get the job or not next week.
You're more adventurous than Donna. She's going to take a job right here in town, at least for the summer. After that, who knows?
Well, you might be seeing me around here for a while longer, too. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I think Dan is leaving the party. Excuse me, Mrs. Morton. I've got to talk to him before he goes.
Certainly. It was nice meeting you, Pete.
Same here.
Oh, and good luck with your job search.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. Questions.
11. Why are the two people talking to each other?
12. Who is the man, most probably?
13. What kind of job has the man applied for?
14. Who's leaving the party at the moment of their talking?
Questions 15 to 18 are based on the following talk.
I hope you've all finished reading the assigned chapter on insurance, so that you're prepared for our discussion today. But, before we start, I'd like to mention a few things your text doesn't go into. It's interesting to note that insurance has existed in some form for a very long time. The earliest insurance policies were what were called customary contracts. They provided shipping protection for merchants as far back as 3000 BC. In general, the contracts were often no more than verbal agreements. They granted loans to merchants with the understanding that if a particular shipment of goods was lost at sea, the loan didn't have to be repaid. Interest on the loans varied according to how risky it was to transport the goods. During periods of heavy piracy at sea, for example, the amount of interest and the cost of the policy went up considerably. So, you can see how insurance helped encourage international trade. Even the most cautious merchants became willing to risk shipping their goods over long distances, not to mention in hazardous weather conditions when they had this kind of protection available. Generally speaking, the basic form of insurance policy has been pretty much the same since the Middle Ages. There are four points that were salient then and remain paramount in all policies today. These were outlined in Chapter 6 and will serve as the basis for the rest of today's discussion. Can anyone tell me what one of those points might be?
Questions. 15. What is the purpose of the instructor's talk?
16. Who were the first insurance contracts designed to protect?
17. What does the instructor say determines the cost of early insurance policies?
18. What does the instructor say about current insurance policies? Questions 19 to 24 are based on the following talk.
You see, my mother had this ring. It was kind of old. It had been given to her by her mother, my grandmother. It had been in our family for years. Anyway, my mother asked me to take it to the jeweler's to get it repaired. She told me to be very careful with it. Later that day, I dropped the ring off at the jeweler's and ran off to do the rest of my errands. It was a busy day, and I was feeling really crazy. I had to get back to the jeweler's before they closed at 5 p.m. and pick up the ring. I got to the jeweler's at about 4:45, paid for the ring, and raced home. It was getting pretty late. But when I went to give my mother the ring, the worst thing happened. I couldn't find it. I checked all my pockets, but all I found was the receipt. The ring wasn't there. I looked everywhere. You can imagine how panicked I felt. Up until then, I had never lost anything important. I didn't know what to do. Just then, the phone rang. It was the jeweler's. They were calling to say I had run out of the store in such a hurry that I'd forgotten to take the ring. They still had the ring at their store. So, the ring wasn't lost after all. What a relief.
Questions. 19. Why was the ring so special?
20. What did the mother tell the man to do with the ring?
21. What time did the jewelers close?
22. What time did the man get to the jewelers?
23. What did he find when he was looking for the ring at home?
24. What had happened to the ring, actually?
Questions 25 to 30 are based on the following talk.
I had this big meeting at work that day, really important. I left my home to go to work at the normal time. I always take the subway to work. On this morning, the train was especially crowded, and I could barely squeeze onto it. I got on just as the doors closed. Well, after a couple of minutes, I realized that my skirt had been caught in the subway doors. I couldn't pull it out. A man standing next to me tried to help me, but we still couldn't get it. By this time, I was so embarrassed. Other people were staring at me, and my skirt was really stuck. Well, wouldn't you know it, the doors to the subway opened on the other side for the next 6 or 7 stations. I had to miss my stop. I just stood there, with my skirt stuck in the door, unable to move. Finally, the doors opened on my side. I was able to leave the train. Now I was really late. As soon as I arrived at work, my boss asked to speak to me. I knew he would never believe why I was late. I felt so stupid. Of course, later, we all laughed about it.
Questions. 25. How does the woman get to work every morning?
26. When did she leave her home to go to work that day?
27. Why was it especially important to be on time that morning?
28. What happened to her when she got on the train?
29. Who tried to help her?
30. Why couldn't she get her skirt unstuck at the next stop?
Part C. Listening and translation. 1. Sentence translation.
1. With all these improvements in transportation technology, we can predict that in the new century, people will travel more often than they do today.
Briefly, I'm proposing that the government should take action to impose a complete ban on all cigarette advertising, even at the point of sale.
Three. About half of the people I talk to are aware of the need for population control. The rest don't consider it a problem that concerns them.
Four. If people had to pay high fines for littering in public places, they wouldn't throw out their trash along the highway when they are driving.
You should have your lunch with the people you work with. Within a couple of weeks or so, you will have met many people and feel comfortable in your job.
Two. Passage translation. One. I guess I'd have to say that the issue I think most about is world peace. It's time we all learn to live together and work together as a planet instead of as separate nations. Now, I'm not saying that it's easy. Of course, we all come from different cultures and speak different languages. It's just that we're so dependent on one another. The world is becoming a smaller place, so to speak. We have to learn to get along. I believe in this issue strongly, and I support the United Nations because I think they do good work.
Two. Well, I guess I'd have to say that creativity is essential to my work. I'm an architect, and the creative part is trying to look at old things and make them look new. We have to keep on top of new trends. We have to know all about new building styles and efficient way to use energy, you know, the kind of things that homeowners worry about. No one wants a house that is heated inefficiently or looks old-fashioned. And we work long hours, but I must say, the job's pretty interesting. You never know what to expect next.
Sample test 3.